This is the Tuesday Morning Zine on KSJD. I'm Tom Yoder. And you're listening to Pandora's Box, where we look at the other side of the story on the environment and your health. Joining me in the studio this morning is Lynn Patrick, the co-host of Pandora's Box, and she's also a naturopathic physician. Good morning, Lynn.
Good morning, Tom.
Well, this morning we're going to take a look at organic food, what it is and what it is not. And Lynn, you know, the term organic is so widely used. We go into the grocery store and everything's organic now. What does it really mean when we see the term organic?
That's a good question, and it can be confusing. In the United States of America, the USDA, and this was only in 2002, actually, pushed through a final rule which established the National Organic Program. And the National Organic Program is the set of regulations that defines what's organic and what's not. So according to the NOP, as it's called, in order to label something organic, as we see this little sticker, it says it's a circle, it's green, it says USDA organic, it has to follow the following. So basically, there's a list of both synthetic and prohibited non-synthetic substances which are approved for organic agriculture. So contrary to popular opinion, you know, organic agriculture can use pesticides, but they have to be basically plant-derived pesticides, and they have to be approved by the NOP. But what organic food cannot contain is the following: antibiotics, so any animals that are organically grown or sold as organic cannot be given antibiotics. Any food can't contain, or animals can't contain artificial growth hormones, so specifically milk. The food can't contain artificial dyes, which are made from coal tar and petrochemicals. And interestingly, for me, I didn't even know this, that organic food cannot contain artificial sweeteners derived from chemicals, including high fructose corn syrup. So even though high fructose corn syrup sounds like it just comes from corn, it's actually considered in that list of artificial sweeteners derived from chemicals. And when you look at the processing of high fructose corn syrup, it actually is highly processed, and it is more of a chemical than it actually is corn dextrose. It's not, doesn't resemble corn at all. So the other things that organic food cannot contain are synthetically created chemical pesticides and fertilizers. And under that list of fertilizers is sewage sludge. Now, believe it or not, sewage sludge is actually a source of fertilizer in commercial agriculture.
Human sewage we're talking about.
Yeah, sewage sludge, yes, that would contain human sewage. Now, the reason is, of course, it's you know, this sewage sludge is bacterially decomposed, but the problem is that sewage sludge is a source of metals, so toxic metals like cadmium and arsenic, and they make it into, those metals make it into fertilizers that are used for commercial agriculture. And so as a result of some of the contaminants in sewage sludge is actually not allowed to be used on organically grown produce. Some of the other things that are not allowed in organic food are genetically engineered proteins. So GMO seed is not allowed to be used in organic agriculture. And lastly, irradiation. Now, in commercial agriculture, we irradiate certain products to sterilize them, like almonds can be irradiated. But the process of irradiation, you know, even after the food is grown and harvested, is not allowed in organic agriculture. Now, in the United States, if you want to get your crop or your animals organically certified, you go through the National Organic Program. But if you're importing food from out of the United States, it's actually certified by an international body called the OCIA, the Organic Crop Improvement Association, which has been around for a long time. It is a nonprofit. It is member-owned. In other words, it's owned by the agricultural groups or companies that actually produce the organic produce. And there have been some critics that have said that, you know, that's like asking the fox to police the hen house. But the OCIA is very common in China, for example. Now, the OCIA is a little bit different. They will allow a crop to be labeled organic if only a product to be labeled organic if only 70% of the ingredients are organic. Now, in the United States, if something is labeled 100% organic, it really does have to contain only organic ingredients, as opposed to just labeled organic. So if something says organic, it only has to include 95% organic ingredients. And we also have, and this is why it gets so confusing, we also have a label called made with organic ingredients. That means that it has to contain at least 70% organic ingredients. So somewhere on that food, it's either going to say 100% organic or made with organic ingredients.
So what should people really be looking for if they really want to eat organic food? What is the label that we should be looking for?
Well, the label we would want would be a label that would reflect 100% organic ingredients, which is basically, it says 100% organic
100%.
Ingredients on the label.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's the USDA NOP 100% organic
okay.
label.
You're listening to Pandora's Box on the Tuesday morning Zine. I'm Tom Yoder, and with me here this morning is Lynn Patrick. She's the co-host of Pandora's Box. This morning we're talking about organic food. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back to talk about some of the health benefits and health effects of eating organically grown food. Stay with us. We're back. You're listening to the Tuesday Morning Zine. This is Pandora's Box, where we look at the other side of the story on the environment and your health. I'm Tom Yoder, and I'm joined this morning by Lynn Patrick, the co-host of Pandora's Box, and she's also a naturopathic physician. Lynn, let's talk now a little bit about some of the health benefits of eating organic food. And I understand a lot of what we've learned has stemmed from research that was done on children originally.
Yeah, that's true. What we know, especially in kids, is that there are some cancers that are directly related to pesticide exposure, of course. We know this from work done on farm workers. But we actually know that in children, non-occupational, meaning, you know, not necessarily the children of farm workers or kids who are farm workers, non-occupational cancers are more common in kids whose moms were exposed to pesticides non-occupationally, or who they themselves have higher levels of pesticide metabolites in their urine. And acute lymphocytic leukemia, which is a form of childhood leukemia, is kind of the poster child for this. So as a result of a lot of this research, and few people know about this, for some reason it didn't get a lot of press, but in the year 2008-2009, the White House was responsible for the publishing of something called the President's Cancer Panel. Now, the President's Cancer Panel was kind of a culmination of years of research looked at by a couple of experts. One of them was from MD Anderson. The other was from the University of Texas at Houston. And what they said basically is their conclusions were that leukemia is consistently elevated among kids who grew up on farms and kids whose parents used pesticides, even if they just used them in the home or garden, and kids whose parents were pesticide applicators. And that pesticides are responsible for a number of brain and central nervous system cancers in kids as well. Kids who have higher levels of pesticide metabolites are up to 10 times more likely to get ADHD, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. And so we're now linking pesticide exposure in kids to higher levels of organophosphate pesticides in their urine. So this is directly related to, we're finding out, their diet. And in 2003, Alex Liu, who's a physician researcher from Harvard, and some doctors from the University of Washington did a study where they took kids, they took school kids, they divided them into two groups, and one of the groups they took from their conventional diet off of that diet to a diet of organic vegetables and fruits. And actually, the only thing they really changed in these kids' diets were the vegetables and fruits. So they took them off of conventional fruit juice and put them on organic fruit juices. And then they looked at the levels of pesticide metabolites, you know, which indicates pesticides in their blood. They looked at that in those levels in their urine. And what they found out, surprisingly to everybody, was that the levels of organophosphate pesticides dropped to non-detectable within 2 days of changing from this conventional diet to an organic diet. Then they took these kits. They did this for a week, measured their urine every day, and then they put them back on the conventional diet and found out that within 48 hours, the levels of these pesticide metabolites in their urine rose dramatically, and I'm talking about 10 to 20 times higher. So as a result of this study, which just came out, what now, 11 years ago, there have been further studies in children finding the same thing, and just this month, July of 2014, the University of Australia published a study in adults showing the exact same findings. Now, what the American Academy of Pediatrics, which is, you know, the go-to organization in the United States for kids and health, says is that basically that is the main benefit of an organic diet. They can't really substantiate that the nutrient levels are higher, and that's because the studies have not been so good. Higher levels of vitamin C, definitely in organic produce, higher levels of flavonoids, which are some very important compounds we find naturally occurring in fruits and vegetables that are anti-cancer compounds. Not a lot of good data on other nutrients, but definitely much lower levels of these organophosphate pesticides in organic diets.
So really, eating organic food is more about the absence of these pesticides and the residual things that come with that, as opposed to maybe just, you know, a misconception that people might have that it's more healthier for me to eat organic food. We don't know that yet. That may be the case, it sounds like. But really, we just don't want to eat those pesticides.
That's the truth. And I think that even the American Academy of Pediatrics agrees that the absence of these pesticides in the diets of children is a good thing. And back to the president's cancer panel. So this was actually a panel convened by the White House to make recommendations based on exposures to cancer-causing chemicals in not just from food, but from the environment. And basically what the president's cancer panel recommended is that all people, adults and children, choose foods grown without pesticides and chemical fertilizers. Hmm. Now, that was from, you know, we're talking about the highest branch of the federal government. Unfortunately, because of some perhaps intervention, that recommendation hasn't made it to the front pages of every major media, but it has made it to the American Academy of Pediatrics.
Okay. Well, thank you, Lynn, for all this great information and bringing it to Pandora's Box every other week. Yes.
And we'll have some resources on our page.
Absolutely.
Of all this information for you.
Okay. Yeah. Just go to ksjd.org under the news tab. You'll find the tab for Pandora's Box. You've been listening to the Tuesday Morning Zine. I'm Tom Yoder. You've been listening to Pandora's Box, where we look at the other side of the story on the environment and your health.